It is a joy to be here. I am very humble to be invited by Pastor and the opportunity to be here and also especially be able to speak to you from the Word of God this morning. I'm here with my wife, Bindu. Bindu and I have come a long way. I was 21 years old when I met my wife. I won't tell you how old I am, but if you can do the math, 21 years till now, you will tell how old I am. This is our 28 years together. So you can do a quick math, you will pretty much tell how old I am. We have five beautiful kids. She is my high school sweetheart. We came from Christian school together, and we have always been on this journey together. It's a blessing that we can be here. Thank you so very much, Pastor, once again. Thank you all for the smile. I like when you're smiling, you know. It's your respect. Amen. And Pastor taught on respect. Well, he didn't teach that, but he spoke about his topic was respect this morning. And I'm going to talk to you on a different topic, not just on mission, but I want to encourage you this morning from the Word of God. From what have happened in the work in my own life as a Christian, and that's the issue of prayer. I don't know how many of you love to pray, but you can never become a victorious Christian if you don't pray. You can never sense the power of God. You can never sense God's anointing upon your life if you don't pray. If you look throughout in the Bible, there were many women who gave their lives in prayer. You remember even the Lord Jesus Christ, before he even went to the cross, he had to pray. The only way we can succeed as Christians, the only way we can win this battle is to give ourselves in prayer. And prayer is a way that we come in contact with our Father. If God is your Father, if He's your Savior, if He's your Maker, if you believe in Him, and especially if you are truly saved and know Jesus Christ as a Lord and personal Savior, you can never in your life silence prayer. You can read your Bible, but prayer brings you more closer to God. And in my own life, I have learned to pray because we have a God who answers prayers. And there's no doubt, if you believe it or not, I believe it beyond a shadow of doubt that we serve a God who answers prayers. And the good thing is, He answers all prayers. He may say no, and that's what you don't like to hear. He may say wait, and sometimes we are impatient to wait. And He may say now, and that's the unique one we like to always receive because we like for God to do it now. But we also have a God who is so long-suffering because He's patient. And because God is patient and He's long-suffering, He can suck in anything that you and I have in our lives. And he let them go. That at an appropriate time, we can come back to realize that we serve a God who is faithful. When I grew up as a young man, there was two things that I learned from my mother. Number one was God will provide. I grew up in a home with seven sisters, and my father was a preacher. He died very young. And mom has to raise eight children. We never had him. Basically, we're living on farming. Let me let you know this morning that all of you here, you are blessed to be in the United States. You may not experience or you may not agree with some of the good things you have in this country, but you are blessed that you can have food on your table no matter what. You know, I like this country. If you don't have a job, they can give you unemployment benefits. If you don't have a food, it can get you a food stamp. If you don't have a house, the urban housing program can give you a home to live in. They have projects being built everywhere. It's not in Liberia. When you don't have it, you don't have it. Right now, as I speak to you, a dollar US is about $105 Liberian dollar. Our economy is bad. And there will be kids who wake up in the morning and they will have just one meal a day. You have drive-thru. You can go through your drive-thru. You can get sandwiches to eat. There are kids who wake up this morning in Liberia, they would never have perhaps the food they need to eat tonight to go to bed. God been good to you in this country. You can enjoy the electricity. I love your lights. I've been here for 5 months now. I have never had current going. 24 hours, we have lights. I love your roads. I can drive on these highways and I can literally fall asleep. I don't have to, look at my steering because the roads are so beautiful. So God been good to you. You have jobs, you know. When I was here, when I was thinking about the election, and one of the key factors was jobs and jobs. But I also know that you can drive everywhere across this country. They have sound posted, now hiring. You have jobs, unless you don't want to work. But there are jobs all over. So you can think about some of the simpler things in your life. And one of the most important things also that I want to remind you of, you have medical facilities that are beautiful. You can literally go in some of your bathrooms here in the hospitals. You can sit down and have your lunch because they are clean. You have good doctors. You have good CVS. You have Walgreens. You can go and get your medication. In Liberia, where I work and where I was born and grew up, there's no free medical facility in Liberia. And there's no medical insurance. When you go to see a doctor in Liberia, you will have to have a catch in your hand. If you don't have the money, you are dead. 10,000 Liberians are assigned to one doctor. But here you are assigned to a primary care doctor. What a blessing. So you can look upon, I can name them and name so many things that God has for you in this nation. You can truly appreciate him for how good he is to you. You can go to bed tonight, and many of you will leave this church this afternoon, and you'll go home. You open your refrigerator and have a cold glass of water to drink. We don't have that in Liberia. So I can name on and on the blessing of God upon this nation and how God has been good to you, collectively and individually. And let me say once again, I want to talk to you briefly in the next few minutes on prayer. My wife and I, we have learned to pray. We pray at night. We pray in the morning. We pray in the afternoon. We pray when we are driving. When we wake up in the morning and don't pray, I feel guilty. I feel that there's something that I haven't done because I haven't spoken with God. You must be encouraged that prayer as a believer has to be a part of your life. I have not just come to teach you how to pray. I have not come to tell you how to pray. But I have come to tell you from the truth of the Word of God that you can never succeed as a Christian if you don't pray. If you have a Bible, if you will turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter number 5. And I want to speak about David's life. And David was a unique man. I love him so much. He's one of the good characters of the Bible that I loved. But David was a man of God. David, out of the 117 chapters of the book of Psalms, he wrote about 70 of those Psalms. And David, the name David means beloved. He was the seventh son among the 8 sons of Jesse. And he was a shepherd boy. David was anointed as a king at the age of 10 years old by God. David also, you know that he led Israel for 40 unbroken years. And he had a united monarchy. For 40 years, he led God's people. He was a career soldier. He was a politician. He was also a man that God referred to as a man after my own heart. When you look at his life, how his life was marked by challenges, and he had so many things that went on in his life. You remember how he went out with Uriah, the Hittite's wife, and he also slaughtered Uriah. He took Bathsheba and had her as a wife. You remember the story after they lost their first son. And Solomon was also born. And God rewarded Solomon because of his mother. And he succeeded his father becoming king. And whenever God spoke to Solomon, he was always reminding him of his father's life, David's life. But David was a good man. And if he has lived in our days today, there would have been a lot of criticism, a lot of things being said about him. But there's no doubt because of his willingness to always be before God's presence, God referred to him as a man after his own heart. If you look with me to Psalms chapter number 5, you'll see there where David poured out his heart to God and how he began to pray. And this reminds me of no matter the moral standard of your life, we all need God at some time in our lives. It could be maybe during your illnesses, you might need God. It could be maybe in your marriage. There are times in your marriage you might need God. There are times in your home, it could be financial problems that you will need God. There are times that when there is no hope, and when you have been told that you can never make it any longer, there's a time in your life that you will need God. And all of us need God. And David, with all of the qualifications he had, being a king and being a career soldier, being a man who led Israel for 40 unbroken years, as you read this scripture, you can realize that there's no doubt that David actually needs God in his life. You can see right here in Psalm chapter number 5, verse number 1, I want to read. Give ear to my words. When you see right there, he was calling God's attention, but he used a possessive pronoun to my words. Give ear to my words. And he also said, oh, Lord. And when you see right there, the word Lord is all in capital letters. Jehovah Adonai, the self-supreme name of God. He was not saying just capital, little Lord, but he was referring to the God of creation. And knowing that he is the existence of us all, and we can never exist without him. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, Lord, oh Lord. He also went about saying, consider my meditation. The word meditation means, God, when you look deeply in mind thoughts and consider them. Because there are times in our lives that we hardly don't even know what to pray about. But before we could even open our mouths and utter those things in our mouths, in our hearts, God had already known the very intent of our prayers. And there's no doubt that David knew that God knew him more than he knew himself. And he said, God, will you consider my thoughts? As you continue reading verse number 2, he went on by saying, not only give ear to my words, not only consider my thought, but he said, hearken unto the voice, and he said again, of my cry. I am a testimony of what David is saying here today. I shared in a Sunday school class this morning. I was among a group of men that were lined up for execution. And if you are familiar with AK-47, whenever they drop the safe, it means that that gun can go off anytime. And when they bring the safe up, it means that then it's secure. And when they drop the safe, they have to pull the trigger. They have to pull the Yeah, they have to pull it back. And when it's been pulled back, it can never be pulled back forward. It got to go off. And that's what I'm talking about, being on firing squad and God taking you out of there. It's what happened to my own life. And so I know how God answered prayers. I lived as a refugee for 7 years in a refugee's camp. I have no jobs. I woke up in the morning. I have no hope for tomorrow. But there's one thing I knew, that there was God. And there were times in my life that when I actually poured out my heart to God and I stretched out myself literally and prayed, because I knew that there was a God in heaven who answered prayers. When you live in a country like the United States, perhaps you don't see the power of God in your life. Because you know what? Even if you don't pray, you will still have your paycheck at the end of the week because you have a job. There are many people here who might say, well, you know, I don't really need God. And that's why you have atheists. It's saddening that I was listening to a church. I was watching a documentary where they have, I don't want to say a church, but they have a group called the Satanic Worshipper. And they have some group in Houston. And they have some group in Michigan. And you wonder, why would people choose to serve the devil rather than serving God? But that's human disobedience. But I know what prayer does. And I know how prayer works. And I want to challenge you this morning as you leave this building to know that we have a God who answers prayers. That he is faithful. And I also share this morning that God begins nothing that he does not end. Whatever God has begins in our life, I love this word in the scripture that always said, and it shall come to pass. And it also said, and it came to pass. When God begins something, it will always come to pass. And so David was a man who needed God so much. In verse number 2, he said, hearken unto my voice, unto the voice of my cry. He referred to him as my king and my God. Now, David did not turn to his catch that he had. David was not turning to his education. David was not turning to his experience as a career soldier. David was not looking at him being anointed by God and saying that, you know what, I am the man here. No, he was saying, I will turn to my king and I will turn to my God. Because he knew that without God, he wouldn't have made it. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you make it without him? It's not possible. The very breath you and I are breathing this morning is because of him. He is our existence. You can never even take the next step tomorrow morning or this evening if it hasn't been God. And let me also let you know that you are never promised tomorrow. You never know the next future. It amazes me that in Florida, there were people who sat and they all, along with us, they saw 2017. But their lives were taken just in a moment in Florida at an airport where they have gone to get in flight and go to various places. Death does not care how old you are. Death does not care how many accounts you have in your bank. Death does not care how many clothes in your closet you have to wear. Death does not care how many grandchildren you have. The scripture says it is an appointment that we all have to die. But are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet your maker in heaven? How many of us spend time with God and we can get to know him and really experience his kindness, his goodness, his mercy that we enjoy every day in our lives? David was one person who needed God. And there's no doubt as I read this scripture, it energizes even me myself to realize that I can never make it on a mission field without God. I serve in one of the toughest countries in the world, Liberia, the second poorest country in the world. We live in Liberia by the grace of God because there's no, you know, I have been diagnosed with diabetes. I had the opportunity of speaking with you this morning, and I was asking so many questions. How long have you been diabetic? And he said, 20 years. But I saw him eating a sweet this morning. He had a whole bit of sweet he was eating. And I said, I can't eat that sweet because I was diagnosed with diabetes. But I believe that I'm going to live for the next 20, 25, or 50 years because I have a God who is faithful. And the work that he has allowed me to do is not completed yet. And so, in our lives, we can never make it without God. And David realized that. In verse number two, he said, hearken unto my voice, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my king and my God, unto thee would I pray. Look up in verse number three. David also said in verse number three, my voice shall I hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning would I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Looking up for what? Looking up for an expectation. Because he is the author and he's a finisher of our faith. And David said, in the morning, you know, I love to pray in the morning. I don't know how many of you love to pray in the morning. But when I wake up in the morning, I love to speak to God. I love that I can just adore him and talk to him about his goodness, his kindness in my family. I love to pray for my children every morning when I wake up from bed in the morning. I love to pray for my sisters and my family members. I love at times to call them even by their names and pray for them. I love to say in their gaps that I can pray as an intercessory prayer. I love to pray for my pastor. I love to pray for my church. I love to pray for my church members. I will literally kneel to God and call names and pray for people because that's the only way that I can succeed as a Christian and as a true believer, and moreover, as a preacher. Prayer brings us in close contact with God. Let me dwell on three important things that prayer does. In verse number 8, as you come down in verse number 8, David asked God in verse number 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Let me let you consider this morning, God leading, it is personal. When God leads us, he leads us personally. My wife has a way to wake up in the night, and she was also pray about herself, for herself, and about her own life. I will also have a time that I can set aside and pray for my own life and pray as a minister of the gospel. There are personal ways that God deals with each and every one of us in our lives and our walk with him. And God leading, it is always personal. It's about you and him. The way he deals with you is different from the way he deals with me. The way God works in your life, it is different from the way he works in my life. God leading, it is always personal. Let me also let you consider to this morning that God's leading, it is also providing. God has always provided in our lives. Amen. I'm a living testimony of how God provides. When I left Liberia, and the war came in Liberia, I came to the Ivory Coast, we were literally living on the United Nations ration. We have to stand in line that we can receive food from the UN compound. I had no jobs. I was not working. We have no electricity. And guess what? My wife has to open the window. How many of you have seen the moon in the sky shining? Do you know the moon provides lights? Have you ever seen how bright the earth becomes when the moon is shining? Maybe you can never tell because you have electricity here. But in towns and villages in Liberia, because they don't have electricity, the young people will gather when the moon is shining at night, and God will brighten the whole town because of the moon. It literally gives light that people can get around. And they will gather, they will be playing, they will be singing and playing games because of the moonlight. And my wife, she will literally open, because we had a lantern. How many of you know what a lantern is? The one you put a kerosene in, right? You got to put it up and put it down. It also produces more smokes. If you're not careful, when you sleep at night with a lantern, the smoke, you can suck in the smoke in your nose. I've seen that. And guess what? The one we had was not the better one that had the globe. Ours didn't have the globe on it. Ours was just a lamp, you just light, and there's smoke everywhere. And so when it goes off, she has to open the window that we can have a moonlight to shine in the room, that we can have lights. That's a big experience. God provided. It may not have not been one of the suitable provisions that God ever made, but because he had a light, we had light. That's how God provided in our lives. Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about the family you grew up in. Think about some of the jobs that God has allowed you to have in your lives. Think about some of the places God has taken you and what you have seen with your eyes. It's God's provision. Last night when I came here, we drove about 12 hours from Fort Worth, Texas. It should be 10 hours or 9 hours, but we took a little bit of time on the road. And when we got here, Pastor have texted me and he gave us a place where to stay tonight, the night we got here. Beautiful place. And I lay on that bed, I said, God, thank you for your provision. That I have a nice place to rest my back tonight, that we can sleep here. A warm place also, because my wife don't like cold. Those are God's provision. You can think about the simplest thing in your life, how God has always provided. And when God leads us, you always provide for our lives. Think about your health. There were people that were born the very day you were born, and they are no longer existing in this world any longer. They are all gone. But you are still here because of God's provision. God been good to you, and God been good to me. And there's no doubt we can look and see God's leading. It is God providing. The scripture says he's Jehovah Jireh, the God our provider. He always provides. He always makes a way where there's no way. When you think that the doors are going to be shut, you always open another door. He is God who is faithful. And he has always been faithful. My mother, when I grew up, we didn't have a lot in our home. And we used to cook rice. Rice is considered a staple food in Liberia. And my wife would literally put rice in the fire. And then we don't have no soup or no stew that we can eat with the rice. And as a young kid, I would always say, Mom, what are we going to eat with the rice? And I always heard her saying, God will provide. And let me let you know, not a day that we ever went hungry, because God always provided. That's the kind of God we serve. Let me also let you know that God's leading, it is God protecting. When God leads us, he protects us. He builds his hand as a shield around our body, around our lives. He keeps us protected. Think about how God protects you every day you drive from home and work. Do you think because it's your expertise to sit behind that steering? Do you think because you were the only person who got the best license? It's God protection. Think about it. Every morning you wake up from bed, you are hurrying up because you want to be late for work. And then you get in that car. You don't care about praying or even tell God, here I am, I commit my life to you. Carry me throughout this day. You don't talk about that. No. You just sit behind the steering and you get on the interstate, ooh, you're going. And then you get back home and you say, yeah, I'm here. No, it's not because of you. It's God protecting. He always protects us. When you wake up in the morning and see the next day, it's because you have a shield that is around your life. He protects you. He guides you. He leads you. He directs every step you take. He brings you in contact with so many different people at your workplaces, at schools, at the marketplaces. Whatever God does in your life is not by mistakes. It's because he protects you. Think about from the time you got your education, you went through high school, you went through college, you made it successfully. Now you have a job. Is it because you were so experienced or you're good at playing games with life? No, it's God protecting. There were kids who went to high school with you. Some of them are gone. Some of them are in prison. Others did not make it. But you made it. It's because God protects you. And David said, lead me, O Lord. And when God leads us, he protects us. When God leads us, he provides for us. When God leads us, he leads us because it's a personal relationship with him. And that's how he leads us every moment of our lives. I love a man in the Bible. His name was called Zechariah. Zechariah have a wife. Her name was called Elizabeth. And Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. Elizabeth also means Jehovah remembers. So you have both Jehovah remembers got married. But Zechariah's wife would not bear a child because she was barren. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And there was a time God sent an angel to Zechariah. And he said, Zechariah, your prayers are heard. You're going to have a child. And his name will be called who? John. That's how God answers prayers. Think about Hannah. Peninnah and Hannah were mates. Elkanah had two wives. And the scripture said Peninnah was very high stalking. She always made mockery of Hannah because the scripture said God shut up her womb. Let me let you know this morning, there are times in our lives that at times God shut up some things in our lives that he will make us to draw much closer to him. Hannah had a shut up womb. But she was a woman of prayer. She prayed, and Elkanah did not even understand his wife. And you remember the man of God also said to her, probably you are drunk. That's why you are praying like you are talking like that. She said, no, sir, I'm not drunk. I have a problem. And guess what happened? As you come down to verse number 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, I love that word. And God remember Hannah. That's the God we serve. He's a God who answers prayers. I want to challenge you this morning. Let prayer become part of your life. Get on your knees and pour out your heart to God. No matter whatever circumstances you might be facing, whatever challenges of life, whatever you think is bigger than you cannot bear, give it to God. The scripture says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think of him. That's the God we serve. And I have come to challenge you this morning because that's what I do in my own life. And that's the God I serve. We serve the same God. Amen. We are all saved under the blood. When God sees me, he doesn't see me as a Liberian. He doesn't see me as a black man. He sees me in Christ because I am under the blood. There's going to come a time that you and I are going to be in heaven, and we're going to be a massive reunion. There are going to be men and women from different homes and different towns and different nations across the world. We're going to be gathered in heaven before our God Almighty. He is faithful, and he begins nothing that he does not end. May God help you this morning. And thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Amen.